I know that you all have heard. This was a quote from C.P. Studd. He said, "I'll preach as though I'll never preach again, as a dying man to dying men." Ever since I've read that quote, I wanted that to be the testimony of my life. When Darryl, do you quit calling out the warning? When Darryl, do you quit crying out the warning? Darryl, how long do you continue to cry the warning? I think as long as one is within the reach of our voice. So this afternoon, I preach what the Lord has given me. He spoke to my heart last night. Have you ever, we preached about it here not too long ago, about verses in the Bible that people use sometimes and to condemn or to justify a position that they've taken in their life. We mentioned it several weeks ago about how in certain circles I've heard preachers, I've heard teachers, I've heard lay members speak about what the Bible says he not only says it to preachers, but he says it to deacons. And what is that? That a man is to be the husband of one wife. And I've heard that being quoted so many times for maybe what you could consider a secondary or a third understanding. I've heard it come up in the conversation so often when it comes to women preachers. Because of what we preached, I feel that that there might have been some that listened that thought that Darryl was taken up for women preachers. But I think that it's important to understand, regardless of what position you might be on this particular instance, that by reading that scripture, that at best is a secondary or maybe a third communication that we can find from that scripture. But why it was so apparent at one time was because people understood that to mean that a man, that a preacher must be the husband of one wife, that he must be a man that has one wife. And because of that, they could then carry it on to its logical conclusion in their mind to say, so then if a man is to be a husband of one wife, how can a woman have a wife? And that was their thesis, and that's how they came up with that. And I can follow that logical pattern of thinking. But you know, there is a lot of people that have said that so many times that we've heard a preacher. This has been several years ago. A man that had had two living wives, and he made that statement that a husband was to be, or that a preacher was to be the husband of one wife, condemning a woman that was theoretically not talking about any particular person, but because that a preacher's to be the husband of one wife, a woman can't preach. And I thought that is so sad, coming from the lips of that man, that his own words condemned him. Because at best you could say that's a second understanding. But you know what? You say that enough, and the thing at one time, now listen to me, which everybody agreed to, that, well, yes, I understand that. If a preacher can only have one wife, how can a woman have a wife? They said it so often now that the first, the primary understanding has been left aside. So that it's only quoted to condemn a woman that professed to preach. And I think it's sad that we see it throughout the Scripture. And Darryl is going to try in his humble and meek way to try to relay to you what the Lord has said in His Word. You know, He so many times
Eve. He had talked about the fishes and to the fishermen of that day. They fell longing and appealing to him. Why? Because they understood him. When he began to talk about the sheep, I can see the shepherds. I can see the boys and the men. Maybe that had lived in town all their life. But to bring back memories of a grandfather who tended the sheep. But today in 2005, I'm afraid sometimes we've lost sight of the pictures that Christ has painted so vividly for us. So once again, I'm no expert. I'm just 35-year-old. As I wish I could. But I'm thankful that some of those old ways were passed down to Daryl. Okay now. It says in the 11th chapter of Matthew, as you turn, listen, when's time to give up? When they're without the outside the door, when they're no longer within the voice of us that are crying, I will not give up. They're so far away. They can't hear my voice. I don't care how the world and its racket tries to drown me out. I will declare the truth of God. All right now, it says now in the 28th verse of the 11th chapter of Matthew, my soul, the Bible says to fear the Lord. Do you remember, church? We preached a message. Who is to fear God? We know that the wicked and the unrighteous, though they should, they are disobedient. But it is those that are His children. When He says, fear the Lord, surely His obedient children, I can say, yes, Lord, I fear You. But then there is sometimes that we feel the judgment of God not so much raining on us, but the doom of it all. The look, I love the fall. I love to see nature and how God has expressed His provisions and His loving kindness throughout this world. And I look at nature and at sometimes the doom of what is to come, to see the panting of a bird because of the heat and the drought. It breaks Daryl's heart. Some would say, I'm not used to emotion. How can anyone cry aloud and spare not, absent of emotion? I'm thankful Daryl is saved, not because of some worked up emotion. Daryl is saved, glory to God, because Jesus came, but Jesus wept, did He not? The one that controlled all of the universe, and yet we find that He wept at our pains, at our concerns, at our apprehensions, at our fears, at our doubts. But He looked and He wept for Mary and Martha, knowing that He was the resurrection and the life. I'm thankful that Daryl has been able to experience that as well. Yes, Jesus wept, and His children still yet weep today. Let us not be children of the darkness. Let us not be those that are hard-hearted. Let us be moved by God's compassion. What He has done for me and you, surely that should make one have reason to rejoice, to laugh, and to cry. That's the bittersweet message of the gospel, and the simple knowledge that Jesus Christ died for Daryl is to say, because He did come to die, that there are those that will perish. That's the bitterness of it. But I'm thankful for the sweetness as well. Okay now. It says in the 28th verse, oh, we're kind of hot in here. But it's alright, rather be a little bit. And the Bible says, I would that you be warm. He don't have us to be lukewarm, hot or cold. But in a church service, I'd rather be in a hot one as I would a cold one. Okay now. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Okay now, Daryl had an interest a while back about raising a yoke of oxen. I thought that would be something I would like to do. I've seen them just occasionally. I've maybe seen them on television. I've maybe seen them here or there. But I was unable to come in contact with a teamster, I believe is what they call them. One that was a very good at training a yoke of oxen. But Jesus here is speaking as he was, telling the world, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A wonderful rest that each and every one of us need. A rest that we can only find in the Lord. He said, take my yoke upon you. He was a commandment, as it were, and not one that we would have to obey, but one that we should obey. Amen. For that's the only way we can find rest. We'll read it again. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's talking about an education here that can only be learned in the yoke that the Lord has provided. A yoke. Oh, if you would like to, we could read the definition of a yoke. It says a piece of timber, a hollowed or made curving near each end, and filled with bows for receiving the necks of oxen, by which means two are connected for drawing from a ring or hook, and the bow a chain extends to the thing to be drawn, or to the yoke of another pair of oxen behind. That's the first definition. Then the second, third, is a mark of servitude, slavery, or bondage. And then it goes on to say a chain, a link, a bond of connection, as the yoke of marriage. And then that was a yoke as a noun. Then used as a verb. It says to put a yoke on, to couple, to enslave, to bring into bondage, to restrain, to confine. So as I read that, Daryl, let's make it personal this afternoon. Daryl, come unto me. Are you laboring and heavy laden? Well, Daryl, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, Daryl, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you, Daryl, shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, Daryl, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But I'm thankful. Hello. anymore a yoke. And the bones of that is made. But yet there was a place for a yoke of oxen is made for two. And he come. And he bowed down. And he whispered in my ear. And he said, "Now take my yoke upon you. If you would, you can turn over and found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9:6. Jesus has told us he has come unto me and you, and he said, "Darrow, take my yoke upon you, and I can find rest. For my burden is easy for right now." If you will, it says in the 14th verse of the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And with communion, what communion have light with darkness?" Well, just like I was telling you, I've heard a verse that told it many times, and a condemned women preacher. Well, listen, I think there's a lot better verses in the Bible that would bring that point. But because of it, they've said it so much that when you hear the verse, you'll think, what do you think? Well, that right there is telling us that women ought not to preach, and we may lose the point that when the Lord said that he was to be a husband of one wife, he was speaking against adultery in the church. Okay now, I've heard this verse so many a time, I've spoken, quoted, that Christian ought not marry a lost person. But listen, that might be the second or the third understanding we might get from this scripture. But it's not exactly what Paul was trying to communicate here. You can read the whole chapter. He never once mentions marriage. It says here, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That's plural. If he had said, "Be ye not yoked with an unbeliever," I think even yet more that it was befitting to the yoke of marriage. As we read the definition, I think it says something about Daryl. If when we read in the Bible about a yoke of bondage, that Daryl automatically thinks about marriage. I think that says something about Daryl. But Paul here, he was talking about, "Let us not be joined together with an unbeliever." The Bible says, if you go on and say, "Amen." If we have time, we could go on and read it. And just like that definition of a yoke, we'll read it. Listen to the downward progression. We can use a word to mean a certain thing, and it can mean that in generality, or it can mean it in a more severe way. Listen, now I'm going to read this, and do you see the downward progression? It says, "Of the yoke, have you yoked the oxen yet, son?" That's to mean to put a yoke on. But then as we would use it in language today, now listen to the downward progression. That says, to put a yoke on, to couple, to enslave, to bring into bondage, to restrain, and to confine. The very thing that Jesus placed upon me, was able to help me to pull that burden. And his yoke is truly his burden is our life, is it not? And his yoke is easy in comparison to what I was chained to. Now listen, as we read here, I want to begin to tell you a little bit I know about oxen. I've heard people say that. Oh, listen, be ye not unequally yoked. And they begin to talk about what Paul was speaking about. It was back in the Old Testament. The Bible says that you're not to yoke, that you're not to put an oxen with an ass, with an ass. But you know what? You can have a yoke of asses. They'll not pull with a yoke. They need a collar. What the Bible says, if it were, you can turn. That's in the 22nd chapter of Deuteronomy. It says, thou shalt not plow with an ass and with an ox and an ass together. He weren't saying you can't yoke them up together. Every farmer knew that. But he was saying you can't put a team of oxen with a team of asses. You can't take the asses with their collar and their harness and hook them to a team of oxen. The world already knew that a yoke would not work on a horse. That's why they believe that oxen was the first beast of burden. Because naturally, after they were able, whoever tried first to carve out a piece of wood and to put it on for the old milk cow, or maybe a team of a couple of steers, they said and seen what work could be done. And as they seen the horses and the wild asses running across the plains, I can imagine and that old farmer walked alongside. Now listen, as he walked alongside his team of oxen, and he looked at those wild horses running out in the fields. He thought, boy, I wish I could tame one of them. For there was so much more a swifter animal. As the man pulled his ox cart along the road, no doubt he thought about how he could get his chores done, how he could go to town so much quicker if he could just tame one of those horses. And though they were able to tame them and to saddle them, the yoke would not fit. It would not work. So they found themselves still, working with that yoke on those animals. So now, we know Paul were talking about yoking together an ox with an ass, because it won't work. It was forbidden. He was telling them not to be unequally yoked. What was he saying, man? We need to get an understanding of what it is. How a team of oxen. As I begin to study that and to find out if I was even be able to train them, you have to go to New England. Here in the United States, it seems that oxen anywhere were used in the New England states more than any. There are those that would theorize it was because of the cooler summers and the lack of humidity that you could work those oxen year around without them getting so hot. Because unlike a horse that'll sweat and lather up, a cow won't don't do that. And because of that, you can, if you were here in the Ozarks or in Arkansas, you wouldn't fully get the benefit of having a team. Why? Because they can't take the strength. But if you listen, if you try to find you a team of oxen, the Bible, I want to tell you how they advertise them. They begin to tell you the height of those two oxen. And they'll tell you the total weight, but then they'll tell you the individual weight. And there's a man, there is a science, as it were, in the raise a team of oxen. Because we all know that all animals do not convert feet the same. But to get a yoke of oxen to effectively work, they have to be of the same strength. They have to be almost ideally in high stature and high. So then, Daryl had a Holstein just us here and a Jersey, and he hooked them together. Would they be equally yoked? No, they wouldn't. Say, wait a minute, Daryl. It don't go contrary to Deuteronomy, that's the 22nd chapter. No, it don't. But you talk to a teamster, and he'll tell you, that's an unequally yoke of oxen. I can ride, so I must need oxen of the same breed. We've got a registry here in the United States of animals. I have some registered red Angus. But there are those. Because of the 1952, the American Angus Association has said black is the color. And at that point, shortly before that, those that had red Angus said we will start our own association. And because of that, you can find in the registry that those animals are pure. If those animals are bred, if they've not been polluted by genes of another breed, and within the United States, almost every breed of cattle has its own registry. So then, okay there, I'm going to get me two Herefords. I'm going to look in the registry book and make sure they're both there. I'm going to raise them. I'm going to feed them. And they're going to be identical. They're both going to weigh 1,540 pounds. They're both going to measure at the shoulder of 61 inches. I'll have everything I need. They'll be the same weight. They'll be the same height. And they'll be the same breed. But let us just look for a moment. Within that registry, there are horn Herefords and there are pole Herefords. And the only thing that keeps a yoke on a beast is his horns. He can't straighten his neck out. With the pull car coming down the hill, all he had to do was stop and hold his neck out, and that hoop around his neck would shoot off. But it's because he's got horns that he can't get that yoke off, and he's learned that the way to effectively hold that load back off his heels is not to hold his head straight, but to bow his neck. Why? Because he's learned as a little calf that yoke is placed on there by the one that has the goad, and it's not to be removed until the master removes it, and he learns. So then, if I've got a team of oxen of the same breed, weight and height, of the same strength, but yet one is told, what will happen when the load gets heavy? The one of all, we can be of the most, the whole back away on the mountainside. The one will just straighten his neck out and leave you holding the load. Jesus, he said, be not unequally yoked. But then he told me, now this is the blessing. Take my yoke upon me, When I look at heavy, I don't have to look up. I just have to look over. And I can see my Jesus. And He's there. Until everything's going to be all right now. I'm going to be unequally yoked. It's the place Christ outside of the yoke. It's the place Him outside the world. But I found me. There was my burden unable to move me. And to place Him with another. Have you been guilty of that? All right then. Can you now see how someone come to the conclusion to be unequally yoked is not to marry someone that's lost? Now listen, let's think about it. We said the Bible says in Deuteronomy the 22nd chapter that I'm not to plow with the ox and an ass. The Bible says there's coming a day. Do you know where it's at, Daddy? Where it says Jesus Christ will divide. What He'll divide? He'll divide the sheep and the goats. So then, I cannot be yoked with a goat. For the Lord has called me out to be one of His sheep. So, that old goat's got horns. The Bible says, I found somebody and they're a Christian. I'm not marrying somebody. That's a loss. Good for you. I'm a just like a steer. That's a Holstein. And one, that's a Jersey. That's not equally young, folks. Nor is the Colt Herber with the Horn Herber. They can bear the love themselves when the Lord brought me and my wife together. He didn't say, girl, I'll tell you a woman, it's time for me to leave. But what's the dictionary say about a yoke? That it is fitted together. And that there's a ring or a hook right there in the middle of the bow. And the chain goes to the load. Or it goes, what's it say? To be hooked to the yoke of another. Me and my wife are not in that same yoke. Me and Jesus is. But He's hooked us in a train. Glory to God. She's full of the load. But she's got Jesus on the other side. I want to tell you something. I can tell God, that I'm a rich man. I've got two yoked oxen. Or maybe I've got three. What do they use them? There's a get fellow down there on the boot hill. And he uses his team of oxen. Along with. And I can think myself, if you bear with me a little while, let's take our mind back. The four trucks, the four chainsaws, how they brought the wood out of the woods, how they do it. They done it with a crosscut saw and a double bit axe. And then our timber, that's what I'm doing today. Listen, you better get out of the way. You better get off the mountainside. The trees are falling all around. And I could think that I was a mighty man because I had me two or three yokes of oxen. And what would I do with them? Well, they pay you to pull the wood. To pull a log out of the woods. So I know that they work separately, Trina. But I'd hook them together. Would them all. And now we you'd be working on the side of the hill. They couldn't go there. Back then like they are now, but there's some places you'd have to pull loose far, far away. And as I were working down that field, and as they piled the logs up, say an awful accident happened, and the logs broke loose, and it spread on down the hill. And there I had my three yoke of oxen holding a line. And it broke the legs of everyone on my right side. But you'd say, Darrell, well, that's all right. You had two yoke of oxen, and now you got one. No, you don't understand. Because from the infancy, since those calves were just little babies, you've been putting that right one on the right side. You've been putting the left one on the left side. And I know half, but I have two yoke of oxen. Because in Virginia, I don't remember the command they use. But when they say to turn right, put the right one on the right, he just pivots his feet and moves his body. But while the other one begins to circle around, every time they heard that command, to turn right, the one on the left circles. Because he's been trained to. I can't take those two half of your thoughts there. Say, bully here. You need to get over here. Because every time I hollered out the command, turn right. They both begin to circle. And there would be confusion. All right then. Would they be equally yoked? No, they wouldn't. Hey, train them all. I'd have been ruined as an ogre. Although I had two half team of oxen. Okay now. Well, the world back then, I can remember. Like it was yesterday. I dated very many women. But I'd come to the conclusion that the Lord, and I'd waited on him long enough. And I said, I'll go out, and I'll be as the prodigal son, and I'll get what I want. But I didn't understand, but I had a yoke to carry without my Jesus. And the Lord began to get heavy, Randy. I looked, and there was no one there. And the burden could not be bare. The burden could not be bare. You say, well, I'll figure it out on my own. Oh, yes, you will. Oh, my desire is that you all have to go that way. So then, there are loads that rejoice for the yoke that they have found. Can you stick your hand up and say, thank you, Jesus? I was found on that road, glory to God. Have you placed a yoke about my neck? And I'll have to say, it's been easy. And my burden's been light ever since. But now listen, there are books that I will say, you can look in Jeremiah. I know it says it several times. About a yoke of bondage, I can see it. Oh, so plain. I believe it was God that told Jeremiah. He said, I place a yoke upon you and chains. And go to the king. Oh, why? To show him what was going to take place. He knew what a yoke was, and he understood it well. And my desire is tonight, for this afternoon, that you might too. Oh, listen. In my quest to find out whether I wanted to have a team of boxing, I begin to study. I wonder, well, what should I get? All the cattle I have were pulled. And like I've already told you, you got to have cattle with horns if we're going to pull a yoke. So I was going to have to buy them. So I begin to think, if I was going to buy them, what would I buy? Well, you know, everyone I'd ever seen over hosting, and I began to search there on the internet, and I began to search old articles, and there's a breed of cattle they're over in England, or one of the isles anyhow, and they're called Devons, and they were loved, but they were preferred above all the cattle because they had a faster pace. You take because a team of oxen only got one pace, but for whatever reason, because of the breed of cattle they were, they was just a little bit quicker, or just a little bit faster. Can you get the picture? I can have me. You say, well, now wait a minute, a Holstein and a Jersey won't work because they're a different breed. But then I begin to tell you, you can find them of the same breed and they'll still not work. So you might be thinking, I need to get them the right size, I need to have them the right weight, and they gotta have horns. And you can get you a Devon and you can find you a Hereford, and they can be the same size. But listen to me, you can say my yoke of oxen is fast because it's half Devon. Well, listen, it's only as fast as the slowest of the two that it's been bred for. But a walk a little faster gait ain't no good. You know why? Because it's bound. It's in the yoke with that old Hereford, and it ain't going to go very fast at all. Why? Because it's right there. And there's just a chain in between us. I always hold you that my Jesus is there by my side. And that chain between us does not separate. But it's that which we long to move. My wife, she's behind me, yoked up to my Savior. And it's not a chain of bondage, glory to God. But it's a work. It's a work in righteousness that we both can rejoice in. You know, I've seen pictures of an animal. When you begin to yoke them, when they're small, you got a bit, you can't put that big old yoke on them. But they was telling me that when you train a team of oxen throughout their life, that you'll need about 5 yoke. Because you gotta build one, and as they outgrow it, you gotta build a bigger one, and a bigger one, and a bigger one. Oh, why? Because as they grow, that yoke becomes too small for their neck. So then, as we work in the work, and as we're there, and it's not, as I said, a chain of bondage, and you begin to put that yoke on that young calf. You got to be very careful when it's icky on the one side, someone helps you get the other, because if you let it go, it'll fall to the ground and they'll become spook, and as they run, they'll fall. Why? Because it'll trip them up. Because yoke is not meant to be carried by a beast of burden all by itself. And at best, Yes, that's what you'll find. But listen, there are those. We heard a message this morning. I don't know how many times my father said compromise. Did you hear it? Do you remember how many times there was cerebral? But I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that say, Daryl, you can't be unequally yoked. I'm not talking about marriage. Neither was Paul. I'm in the business with the feller. And he told me he was a Baptist. And he was a Christian. And I took him for what he said. I had some reservations. But I said, no, that's not the way to live. To be paranoid. I watched his life and I see no sin. Open sin in him that I could truly say. And we began to enter into a business relationship. Although it was somewhat distant, although he was my distributor, and it looks as if he has been dishonest to me to steal one of my customers. But you know what? Where there was striving to be honest, was he equally yoked with this business partner? No, I wasn't. And it's been to my detriment. Oh, why? Because I was striving to be honest and open, and he was practicing to deceive. He never lied to me, Tran. He told me, gave me an answer for every question I asked. But yeah, he left out the details, and it's been to my hurt that the Lord has taught Daryl. Daryl, I told you already, it's right there. 2 Corinthians, Paul said it, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, plural. And so then, if I ought to be careful who I do business with, if I ought to be careful who I hang around with at work, well, that's where. Do you see the logic that someone would say to be unequally yoked or not to be is to say that I can't marry someone lost because if I wouldn't have them as a friend, if I wouldn't have them as a business partner, why would I defile myself in the marriage bed with one that's a goat and not a sheep? The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. So Daryl, I need to be very careful. What do you do? Because he might compromise his convictions. Listen to me now. You won't. You're not going to compromise your convictions. Now hear me out. You will not compromise your convictions. But it might reveal to you what your convictions really is. Because convictions are those things we're dying for. They're not things that one compromises. So I've heard them say, well, I'm afraid they've compromised their convictions. No, they ain't. Oh, you might be able to say they ain't got any, but they ain't compromised if they had any at all. So then, let me tell you, if Daryl continues in a business operation, this man's just taking advantage of me. Every time a man orders a load of feed, it looks like he's not going to pay me commission on it. And I'm okay with it. I haven't decided yet, because that's feed I feed my cattle. When they got upset, I said, well, I'll just not do business with him. And I've got to pray about it. But listen, if we had a close-knit relationship, the downward tendency of man is not, some would say, have you ever heard, I knew a man that was an alcoholic. And he thought if he married him a good church girl, that his weakness, that her strength would conquer his weakness. But what he and she forgot was the downward tendency of the human flesh. Bless him. Their strength won't increase the strength of your weakness, but your weakness will become theirs, and their weakness will become yours, especially if you've looked and you've replaced that one that you wanted to be close to. Oh, I can make so much money if I'll just take this man as my business partner. But when times get hard and you cry out as you once did, and you begin to look over there in the yoke with you, it's not Jesus, but is your business partner. And he's grinning, and he's pulling for all his worth. But it's not in the direction that you would have to go. And I'm here to declare to you today that you will become equally yoked to the breaking of my heart. Just give it time. You say no. Darrell, that ain't true. I've seen a lot of people that have went, won their boss, won this one or that one. Well, maybe so. That's true. But I want to tell you, if you ain't got enough faith to believe God's word today, you probably ain't going to get any more for tomorrow. Why? Because the Bible declares to us His truth. Will you take it for that? Will you weigh out? Will you stand with me today in the valley of decision? Won't you have to agree that the Holy Scripture, when it was given to Timothy, about that you can't be the husband of more than one wife and be a preacher? That's what he was trying to communicate that day. And now that you yourself couldn't be a woman, but that you couldn't have more than one wife. Won't you have to agree with me today? To be unequally yoked is to speak of our relationships, not marriage specifically, but generally in all of our relationships. So then if Darrell is not to associate with a thief, should Darrell marry one? Okay. So I have a team of ox. And one is a Devon. And one is a Horned Hereford. Got me a scale that I can weigh cattle on. And I weigh them. And it weighs in increments of 1 pound. And I weigh them. And I'm going to go to say to the county fair. Here in this county, they don't have ox pulls. They do in New England, I'm told. And it's 3 months from the... It's 3 months from the county fair. And I weigh them. And they've both been again in a 5 gallon bucket of feed a day. And one's 20 pounds heavier than the other. Do you realize those that have efficient yokes of oxen, though they work them together, they don't feed them together. Though they work them together, outside of the work, they spend quite a bit of their time in a stall. Or at least when it comes feeding time, they feed them separately. What would you think would be the wise thing to do? I'm wanting to win a pool. I could take some feed from the one and make him lighter than the other. Or the lighter of the two, I could feed him more, couldn't I?
Which would you think would be the smarter of the things to do? Why? Sheer weight is what makes oxen so effective. Unless someone has ever seen a team of oxen that is well trained, I have to make that clarification. I can remember my grandfather talking about the team of oxen he's seen pulling logs up a hill. And he began to talk about the nature of oxen. But I found out that it is not the nature of oxen, but that it is a well-trained team of oxen that will work in unison. Horses, you can hook up a whole line of horses. As they begin to pull, some will seesaw. And though that can be trained out of them horses, it's in their nature. If you've never seen a yoke of oxen pull, it's hard to explain it other than to see. A lot of us have seen two bulls. Have you ever seen two bulls put their heads down so low to the ground and they push each other with all their might? Or if you can imagine two bulls, instead of pushing against each other, but leaning in to that yoke of oxen in such a way that they'll bow down. Think about it. I've had bulls. I had a Hereford bull that weighed 2,200 pounds when he went to the sale barn. Those steers, if you let them get up to 7 and 8 years old, they can get humongous. But just think about it for a minute. I know the team of oxen a man had, some Holsteins, I think that they were close to 3,000 pounds apiece. I think it was 2,700 pounds apiece. Can you imagine having that leaning on you? I remember that Hereford bull getting over in the neighbor's cows. And I thought I'd go and get him with a four-wheeler. And I think the four-wheeler weighs about 500 pounds. And as I began to get him up and run alongside of him, I would run alongside of him and try to push him. And he'd just sit down on the four-wheeler. Like he'd done it to Daddy once or twice too. He wasn't pushing. He'd have pushed me. I'd have went off tumbling. But he just leaned over on me. Can you imagine a ton just leaning into you? What it can move. But we've got two. Yoke of oxen is two. And they lean. I want to be that yoke of oxen. When troubles come, I want to push with all my heart till I find myself on my knees. Not raised a team of oxen as of yet. But I've seen bulls get down and just pull the ground to the point that they're down on their knees. Do you have a heavy load? Do you need help with it? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light." So where do you find yourself? Let's get some song to sing. Unfortunately, a liar can speak the truth. I've come in contact with people that have disbelieved the truth because it was spoken to them by a liar. I've had people at work discredit what some so-called preacher said because this so-called preacher had said it. And they caught him in so many lies. And they come to me and they ask me, "Does the Bible say this?
Or no, they usually ask me, Daryl, do you believe this? Well, let's read that. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Believe us. We read that definition. Did you see how it spiraled? And that yoke became more than just to put a yoke on, to be an enslaved, bringing into bondage, to restrain and confine. I think if you read the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, when he begins to speak about to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he speaks of a downward progression. He goes on and on. It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion with light and darkness? It's even more clarification. Then it goes on to say, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Do you see the downward progression? You think that you're willing to compromise some of your convictions. No, you're not. You're willing to compromise because they are not your convictions. That's what broke my heart so bad about someone that was very dear to me, someone that taught me Sunday school, was not that she was willing to compromise her convictions. I didn't go and scold her. I didn't tell her what she should do. But I was brokenhearted because Daryl had discovered they weren't her convictions. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. As we once again said, a liar can speak the truth. When Satan would have us, when he speaks the truth that would convict us, Satan would say, don't believe him, he's a liar. But yet, when a liar speaks the truth that brings consoling to our heart, Satan tells us, you need to believe everything he says, for he's told you the truth. Do you see how the devil works? That is why Jesus Christ has compelled us not to be unequally yoked with the world, because there is a downward progression. And when it's all said and done, we will be men without principles, men without convictions, just religious men. Do you remember the Pharisees when Christ Jesus asked them? They asked him a question, and he says, I will answer that if you answer me. What was the baptism of John? Was it of God? Was it of man? Well, we find out the heart of the Pharisees right off, don't we? Their decision was not to seek or to find the truth. But they said, well, if we say of God, or if we say of man, we fear the people. They might kill us. But if we say of God, he will say, why didn't you believe me? They never even seek the truth. My prayer tonight is that you might seek the truth. For the truth will set you free, and it will not place you into bondage. Because there are some yokes that we can enter into that we cannot break. Turn it back over to Daddy.
Anyone got a word, anything on your heart before we close? All Heart Free. I'm going to ask Michelle Hensley, she will dismiss us in prayer.
And Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, we thank you for the services we've been in, Lord. Pray, dear God, that you'd help each one of us examine our lives this week, dear God, that we might know who we're yoked with, that it might be you, Lord. But pray, dear God, that you would just go with us, Lord, be with Vicki and Kayla tomorrow as they go back to the convenience. I ask thy blessings upon us, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Goodbye, and God bless you.